The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're back. We talked a lot about Florida LSU, but primarily on the LSU side of the ball. It's always one of the most anticipated games of the year. So how are those Gators doing? Edgar Thompson joins us from the Orlando Sentinel to talk about it. Edgar, good to have you on. Hope you're doing well. So tell us about life after losing to Kentucky. How's everything going in Gainesville?
That's something you don't want to do if you're the Florida coach. And Dan is five of them hadn't done it before he arrived, and he's done it twice now. So and really needed a Kyle Trask miracle a couple years ago to not lose another one. So Mark Stoops, whether it's his defense, whether it's the quality of the program he's built, I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, he's had Dan's number a little bit, and that's not something fans here are used to seeing. You know, 15 penalties, man. I mean, 8-ball start. That's going to put you in hot water against any program. Maybe not Vanderbilt, but that's about it. So,
Edgar, what is the state of this program right now as it heads to Baton Rouge? How are things going?
I mean, pivotal game for both programs, obviously, for LSU. I don't know if there's a path ahead for Ed Orgeron, to be honest. But, Dan, I mean, it's a big game for him. And they get Georgia the week, 2 weeks after that, and that's – I will say this for Dan so far, the Gators under Dan, is that Georgia game that looks pretty, there's no way they're going to win that, right? He can get the Gators ready for games like that. He did it 2 years ago at LSU against Joe Burrow and company. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with that LSU team, I thought.
They really
gave
did.
Them the best game, right? I thought they gave them the best game in LSU's style of play that year, I mean, which is really kind of the up-and-down-the-field kind of style. I'm not going to count them out against Georgia because of that, but you can't lose to LSU. You lose to LSU, then Georgia, and you're 4-4 coming out of October, there are going to be a lot of really unhappy people. There are already people that are a little bit unhappy with the way things are going this season.
Yeah, and I've heard that, and I wonder about it. That's why I do want to talk to you, because you cover the team and you're very honest, and you've been fair to Dan Mullen. You've also been critical. What is the biggest complaint about him so far?
Well, I mean, I think Dan is a terrific coach, game day coach, play caller, game planner, developer. Obviously, the knock has been recruiting. Look at Georgia's level of talent. What Kirby continues to bring in there. The Gators are lagging a bit there. But the real criticism, I guess, this year has just been, it's kind of a little bit what was last year. He's just a little bit stubborn at times, right? I mean, they go to Kentucky, the audible clap count deal is not working. I mean, Kroger Field can get going. I've been there for some games now where that place is pretty good home crowd. And they were having false start after false start, and yet they weren't changing, right? They didn't try to go to a silent count or have the quarterback lift his leg, whatever, right? Something else. They just kept doing it. And then, you ask him about after the game, and he's digging his heels in on it, right? So post-game, he has a penchant for not taking criticism very well, which I totally get. I mean, who wants that? But, he maybe could handle that a little more adeptly, deftly, let's say. And I think fans kind of chafe at that when it's like they want answers and he's not giving them. The other thing is Emory Jones has not lived up to the expectations thus far. Now, he's incrementally improving, but he's a little late on throws. They're not attacking downfield like people wish they would. I mean, he seems to lean on the hitch route a considerable amount, screens. They want it opened up more. People want him to be Kyle Trask. Well, A, he doesn't have Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney on the field with him, for one, and B, that's just not his game. So let's see how he continues to develop. Six games in, I'm not going to rush to judgment on the kid, but I think people are already, like, wanting him to move forward with Anthony Richardson. Well, you saw against Vanderbilt, Paul, if you watched it all, Anthony Richardson did not look ready in that game to, like, take over as the starting quarterback for Florida. So, you know, they're in a transition right now, I guess, bottom line, and people don't enjoy those.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Anthony Richardson because, you know, when we were down there, what, 3 weeks ago, I mean, we fully expected him to get in and beat Tim Tebow 2.0. So tell, and I must confess, in all candor, I didn't watch the Vanderbilt game. So tell me what I didn't see.
Well, you and a lot of people. Well, his first pass was an interception. The next series was a three and out. And it just, and he played 2 fourth-quarter series. He ended with 25 yards passing, 11 rushing, and an interception. So he didn't, like, light the world on fire like he did those first two games. Now, he also, is he fully recovered from that right hamstring strain? I don't know. Is, what did Dan ask him to do? I mean, he wants him to go in there and run the plays that are called and run the operation. There's a lot to being a quarterback besides just making plays, right? Getting people in the right spot, protection, you know, being able just to do function in the offense. They're trying to get Anthony to the point where he can just do that and do more. I mean, he's kind of just can do one or two things really well, and I think Dan's trying to expand his, you know, role as a quarterback overall so he can continue to develop him. But again, this is the kind of stuff that coaches and, you know, people like that, they do, and fans, like, you know, scream and yell about, but they, you know, I get, Dan Mullen's got a plan. I trust that he has a plan. We'll see how it plays out. His comment is, hey, look, you can't judge a season till it's over, so we'll see how it goes. But he's put himself, I don't want to say behind the eight ball, but they've certainly put themselves, you know, in a bit of a hole going into, like, very pivotal two-game stretch for the team and the program.
And I wanted to ask you about what you said a minute ago about his demeanor, because, I mean, most people in the media like Dan Mullen. He's very forthright. He answers questions. But on the other hand, you know, he does get snarky. And I'm not trying to ask you to psychoanalyze his personality, but you watch it all the time. And I know you like him. We've had this conversation.
I get along great with Dan. We have good, you know, rapport back and forth. He tries hard on questions, I believe. He sometimes comes at him with a nuance where you're like, weren't expecting where he goes with the question sometimes. I'm entertained by him in that way. But after games, like a lot of these guys, and I, you know, look, I was a competitive guy. I'm sure you're a competitive guy. It's like, you know, you lose or you don't play as well and you aren't in the greatest of moods. But he's not good at shaking that off and, like, putting on a – he wears his emotions on his sleeves, man. And he doesn't like to be questioned. And, you know, part of it is because he knows what's going on out there a lot better than we do, and he knows that. So for people to come in there – I mean, someone asked him straight up after the Kentucky game, Paul, if he had been outcoached by Mark Stoops. I mean, personally, that's not going to really elicit much of an answer, I don't think, right? And coaches don't want to, you know, what's he going to say? So that kind of, he just, I don't know. But that's how he is. I mean, we've kind of gotten used to it, and it's not always fun to deal with. But, you know, on Monday, he's shaking it off by then, 9 times out of 10, and he's, you know, back to the old Dan. So, you know, post-game Dan is definitely not his best self, though.
Yeah, the problem with a question like that is if you're humble and you do the all shucks routine, say, yeah, of course I was. I lost the game. That's a headline right there that you probably don't want because, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, do you really want the headline in your newspaper say, Dan Mullen outcoached by Mark Stoops? Or on the other hand, if you act like he did, it's a bad look too. But you're not really saying anything, though, are you?
No, I mean, he could have said, "Hey, Mark did a great job tonight." Whatever. Mark is doing a great job, and I think Dan made that pretty clear after the game too. that was not a good loss because it was such a sloppy performance. You go to Kentucky and lose. There's no shame in that at this point in that program stature up there in Lexington, right? I mean, they're a pretty solid program now under Mark. And he's built a pretty impressive thing up there that not many people have been able to do. So, but, you know, you go up there, you commit 15 penalties, 8 false starts. You have a field goal blocked. You're in the red zone twice at the end of the game and get 3 points out of it. That's really not that's a bad way to lose. And I'm sure extremely frustrating way to lose if you're Dan Mullen.
Always great, Edgar. Thank you so very much. We will talk to you soon. Edgar Thompson joining us from the Orlando Sentinel as we head to the break right now. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back and more of your phone calls right now. Bo is in Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Bo.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Very well.
Hey, I had actually a follow-up after hearing the lady speak about LSU. As a Miami fan, you guys should learn from us. Sticking with the guy that's from your area, that we've done that 3 out of the last 4 coaches, they haven't panned out. And that's why, you know, the athletic director and other people need to be looked at. Maybe that's something that needs to be looked at LSU as well. Maybe it's a little bit deeper than just the coaching. Maybe it's the athletic director bringing these people in.
Let me answer that, Bo. The current athletic director did not have anything to do with Coach O.
Okay.
So, you know, he's only been there 2 years. He was at Texas A&M and hired Jimbo Fisher. The real question, I think, comes down to, it's not where you're from. That's good. Yeah, like the caller previously said, you have to measure where a coach's trajectory is, and that's Coach O's biggest issue right now. It's straight down, and it's highly unlikely to get any better right now.
No, they look bad. They look bad, and you want the guy to do good, obviously. Just because, like, his story and everything. But, I mean, he's not the guy for the job. Just like I was saying, as a Miami fan, those guys were not the guy for the job. They weren't it. So LSU maybe should learn a lesson from that and cut their ties this year and go to someone else.
It's worth remembering, Bo, and a lot of people have forgotten this, but the reason why Coach O got the job is because his boss got fired, Les Miles. He took over as interim. He did a pretty good job. Lost a couple of games, but, you know, did a commendable job. And he got the job then full time, partly because he was from down there. He spoke the language. A lot of players wanted him to get the job. And And to his credit, he won a championship. He did something that no one really expected. Unfortunately, since he won the national championship, it's been straight downhill. Thank you for the call. Connor is in Georgia. Hey, Connor.
Hey, Paul. So the reason why I called is I wanted to talk about the QB situation about Georgia.
Sure.
So you know how Stetson Bennett is looking like a starter right now because he is not looking like he's a backup. And if he keeps having these games, I'm not sure if he'll give JT the starting job back.
That's always the question that you have to deal with. And yeah, I mean, there are a lot of axioms about that, whether you're not supposed to lose your job due to injury. It does happen, though. And
yeah.
I don't think that's an issue that's going to really disrupt this team, though. We saw it happen last year with Stetson. When JT came in, the team just took off. And unfortunately for JT, he just has not had he's not had the ability to be in the lineup long enough to get any consistency this year.
No, because he keeps getting these injuries, which are – if he keeps getting these injuries, that is not going to work well in the NFL because you got bigger guys coming at you
right.
than college. You got, like,
but
bigger
Connor,
linemen.
Do you trust Stetson Bennett against Florida, against Alabama later in the year?
That depends on the Kentucky game. If he shows out in the Kentucky game, I got no doubt in my mind that
okay.
he'll play well versus these other ranked teams.
That's a good answer, by the way, and that is the correct answer. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Josh is up next in Michigan. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Two-part question, number two. Well, first, number one, I'm sorry. If A&M somehow wins out, Bama loses one more game, and somehow Jimbo beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, what are the odds that with two losses, Jimbo would get into the playoffs? No team has done that before.
By the way, that is a very interesting scenario because – I mean, we are dismissive of A&M, but you're right. So Alabama loses a game. A&M runs the table all the way to Atlanta. I think you could make a very strong argument for A&M. Why? Here's why.
That's two. They beat two number one teams.
They sure did. And you know, there is some precedent there. Auburn did this
yes.
in 2017, and I think they I'm trying mm-hmm. to remember if they had two losses. I think they did.
Yeah.
And I think they would have gotten in. I really do. But they lost the rematch with Georgia, and they did not get in. But there's no doubt in my mind. You beat the two best teams in the country. You should, your losses are bad, but you've recovered from those losses.
Yeah.
And I would argue in favor of them. Yes,
I would take them over a one loss Sooner team, even if they win the Big 12 championship.
You're 100% right. Hey, that's a cool tongue twister there. I like that.
And one more question. When LSU, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when now. When they fired Coach O, what are the odds that USC tries to hire him back?
Zero.
Zero?
I'm sticking with zero, unless you want to up me to one half of 1%.
Do you think he gets another job somewhere else, or is this the end?
I don't think he's. He could get a job. Yeah, he could get a head coaching job at the
SEC.
I think he could get one maybe at a Group of Five job.
Hmm. All right.
But I would be pretty surprised if he got a major job after this.
All right. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, Mark Kubiak just suggested he could follow Les Miles and go to Kansas. Is Kansas still playing football? I haven't checked lately. Let's continue with more phone calls. And John is up next in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon. And before I start, I thought the interview with Jimbo Fisher was phenomenal. I thought he was very diplomatic and humble. And you did a great interview with him. Anyways, I was thinking about LSU, and you've got the football team under investigation from the NCAA and the Department of Education. Then you've got Will Wade over in the basketball arena being investigated by the FBI still, as well as the NCAA. Is this time maybe just to clean house over there, you know, improve the culture? And by the way, the current AD is the one that gave the extension to the football coach there.
True, but I don't think he had any choice. When you win a national championship, that is almost a natural reaction. I might have gone in and excised the buyout, but you know, he was just probably dealing with the current contract that O had. You know, as far as Will Wade, I don't think that has anything to do with this particular issue. But I think the Title IX things do. And if what I mean by that, John, if it was a close call about Coach O, I think he might get the benefit of the doubt, but I don't think he'll get it now.
Well, he's been named as a defendant.
Yes, he has.
For ignoring it. So, I mean, it's pretty serious in this. And let me ask you one last question, Paul. You have University of Kentucky being fined, I believe, $250,000 for the fans coming on the field. But I thought it was only $100,000 for A&M. Do you know what the difference is?
I was thinking that. I don't understand. We'll have to get some clarification from the SEC on why one was $250 and why one was $100.
The Alabama coach, Saban, should hire the security team. They really kicked ass as they were escorting him off the field there.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's got a couple of, one guy that's always with him, Cedric Burns, and then he's got a pretty dedicated security force. John, I will tell you, I've been on those fields before after an upset like that, and one in particular, I literally thought I was going to be killed because people, it's a stampede. And it's not like a bunch of fans who have been sitting there for, hours getting ready for the game, then 4 hours cheering their team on, are really thinking clearly, like, maybe I shouldn't just run this poor guy over who just fell down. But it is pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. Great show.
Thank you. So we'll try to get you an answer on the 250,000 versus the 100. I'd also like to know if somebody knows, where does this money go? Who gets it? And what do they do with it? We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. More phone calls here. CJ is in Virginia. Hello, CJ.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I love the intro song there. But
thank you.
Listen, I'm calling to represent Mississippi State. Let me just say real quick about LSU, though, that one caller had said about Title IX. You know, that's one thing. It's a tough situation right now because, the buyout's like $17 million. I mean, they might be able to fire them for cause with this Title IX stuff. And that's why I think one reason they're waiting towards the end of the season. But it's a tough situation. It's week to week because, you got to try to keep the players together with the portal thing, and you got to keep your recruiting class together. So, I mean, it's a week-to-week thing.
But, CJ, there's another component here. You also have to give the players reason to believe. And if
I know, exactly.
And sometimes by making a change, you're saying, okay, listen, we are going to bring in a coach here you will like and will be competent on all levels. So I don't think it's going to happen immediately, but I think there are a couple of lines of demarcation if LSU can't beat Florida. Now, if they beat Florida, I think things will calm down. That's a meaningful win. But if they don't, then they go to Ole Miss. And I think after that game is when the rumors are going to fly, because you're sitting there now, what? What is LSU? Three losses. That would be five. And at that point, there's no way to have a decent season.
They're looking – you know, I mean, this season, it's not looking good. But, you know, like, I agree. I mean, it's a tough situation. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm probably one of the last people that would be representing Mississippi State. I mean, I practically got beat up a couple of times I went there as a student and even afterwards. So. But anyway, I'm thinking back – the Alabama fan yesterday, they called, said, yeah, we're going to – you know, quote, go to, you know, beat that Georgia ass twice and win the Natty, being totally dismissive of all the teams coming up. I mean, I hope they realize they're getting ready to go play at the home field of the team that just beat Texas A&M pretty soundly. I mean, it wasn't a fluke. They beat them soundly, and Mississippi State has had 2 weeks to prepare. I think Mississippi State is kind of laying and waiting, and that could really be a good game. I know everybody's assuming, oh, it's Nick Saban. He's going to have them so fired up. There's no possible way. They're just going to crush State. And I might believe that more if it was at Bama, but it's at Mississippi State. So this could be interesting,
yeah,
I think.
CJ, it's easy to figure out the recipe to beat Alabama is get them on the road. We've seen them barely get by Florida and not get by A&M, so there's some commonality there, and I would agree. I've been to Davis-Wade on Saturday night, and when things are rocking, that's a very difficult place to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's wide open. Look, Ole Miss only has one conference loss. Now, they don't have a defense, but they're being just real dismissive of these other, like, you know, assuming.
Well, CJ, you're not really surprised by that, are you?
No. But I'm. Yeah, I mean, I think we set our sights on Nick Saban, because I'm thinking if they're talking about firing the assistants after a win and a last second loss by a field goal in a hostile environment, and they're willing to fire the assistants, I mean, if they lose another one, Nick Saban might be next. So we might get Nick Saban back at LSU. We take him back. So
okay, I will make sure he's aware of that fact. well, hey, thank you for the call. Let's talk to Arnie in South Dakota. Hello, Arnie.
Hey, Paul, longtime listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Hey, so just wanted to clarify on the Kentucky fine of $250,000 versus the A&M
right.
of $100,000 for the field storming. That was their third offense.
Yeah, so I've been corrected on this now. It's $50,000, $100,000, $250,000, and the money goes to the postgraduate scholarship fund. So it's not like they're using it to they're putting it to good use.
Right, gotcha. And then everybody always wants to say same thing in college basketball, is don't storm the courts, act like you've been there before. But it's easy to say when you're the fans like Alabama fans, of course they're going to be upset. But these teams that are doing this haven't been there before.
No,
so,
no.
Anyway,
listen,
I'll let you go.
Know, I mean, we were all students once, and if I'm sitting there as a student and my team beats the number one team in the country, I'm on the field. So I'm not.
Absolutely.
I'll let the guys in the athletic department worry about paying for it.
Absolutely. I paid for that. So, all right. Take care. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Marvin is in Houston. Marvin, go right ahead.
Hey.
Hey, Marvin.
Paul.
How are you?
Hey, Paul, I got to tell you something, man. Hey, LSU done got away from the old things, but my big thing is go get Joe Brady. We need Joe Brady back there. I don't care how much the money is. Go get Joe Brady.
Well, money's
LSU
not going
to –
Yeah, I don't think it's money that's going to really affect Joe Brady. He's making a lot of money in the NFL. He'd make a lot more going to LSU. His question is, does he want to do that?
Well, I hope he does. Because you know one thing I can say about LSU, what they've done, they got away from the running game. Even though Les Miles was there doing his time, but he had some brute running backs. You remember Ford – and Hilliard and those guys,
sure.
Those guys run the football and pounded defenses. And now we got away from that. Joe Burrow is not going to walk on that field anymore. So we need to realize one thing. We got to recruit and get running backs and good defensive players. I remember back in the day when Glenn Dorsey was
Glenn
there.
Dorsey, sure.
We had some of the best defensive players that it is. I don't know.
Hey, Marvin, 2 years ago you had some of the best defensive players in the country.
Of course, but we got away from it. We just got to get the running game. The passing game is not there no more.
You started the season
because Joe Brady is not
there.
The offensive coordinator that LSU got right now, I don't know what the deal with him.
You started the season with the best cornerback in America. He just didn't play much. Yeah.
Well, I just don't know.
Coach O has recruited great talent, but something seems to always be happening. I mean, Jamar Chase didn't want to play. I think he did. Was he the one that opted out last year? So, I mean, these things do happen. Stingley, a lot of weird things have happened down there. Let's continue with more phone calls. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, looking good, sounding good as always. Thanks for taking my call. Clemson Tom comes in the liquor store this morning about 11:30.
Oh, yeah.
And he walks up to me and he says, "Have you heard that Coach John Gruden has been wearing a Hunter Biden mask?" I said, "No, I haven't heard that. Why in the world would he be wearing a Hunter Biden mask?" And Clemson Tom says, "So the media won't ask him about his emails." I got to give him a stroke for that one. That had me laughing all afternoon.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't laugh, but there's nothing about Clemson Tom that I find humorous, other than his name.
Well, that's what I call him. But he always comes over here and he buys from us. So you got to treat your customers.
How's Clemson Tom's football team doing?
He don't talk too much about it.
I didn't think so. Cat Daddy, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We are heading to the break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Always have a couple of guests. Isaiah Spiller going to join us. Yep. DJ Shockley to talk the Georgia Bulldogs. What's more exciting for you right now, the way Georgia's playing, them being the number one team in the country, or A&M having beaten Alabama?
Oh, it's so hard. It's so difficult because the way Georgia's playing is outstanding. But the way Texas A&M played that one game against Alabama was just phenomenal. I mean, top to bottom, the game plan, the offense, the defense, everything that they put together, it was really exciting. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the top 10. Mm-hmm. We're kind of branch out of the SEC. But for Georgia, I think they're still building. And I think there's still more to come with the Bulldogs.
It is scary how good they've been. Yep. Yet we still talk about what does the quarterback situation look like. Every week we have these questions about JT Daniels. Mm-hmm. Is he rehabbing? Is he getting better? Meanwhile, Stetson Bennett has quietly led this team to 6-0 and has looked dang good while doing it. So I'm interested to get some of that insight from DJ Shockley as we are ahead of a big Georgia-Kentucky matchup. Yep. We've been high on Kentucky on this show. What are you thinking? How are you feeling ahead of this one?
I love what Kentucky is doing, but, you know, I feel like this is probably their biggest test. I thought the Florida game, but that game was at home, right? So this is going to be huge playing in Athens. I think that's really, it's just big. But Kentucky, I feel like they're riding a high right now. Like, they've got a wave of momentum. But we saw what Georgia did to Arkansas's wave of momentum. We've seen what Georgia does to everybody's wave of momentum. So kind of with Kentucky, but we'll see what happens.
It's going to be a tough matchup for Kentucky, certainly, coming in as for sure the underdog. And it makes sense against this Georgia team. Yeah. One other thing about this weekend, and we're going to talk about this on Out of Pocket tonight. It's the first full weekend of all SEC games. Yeah. So we're going to play a little Squid Games type red light, green light. I'm not sure Paul Feinbaum has watched Squid Game yet, but maybe we'll be surprised. Some upset alerts potentially, because I think there are some teams that you think could potentially pull an upset this weekend.
Yeah, maybe. I was a little on the edge of some
upsets.
I'm not going to give it away. You'll see. You'll just have to watch. But, you know, to pivot off of that, what game are you the most excited about this weekend?
Oh, man. I think out of everything, Georgia-Kentucky is the easiest answer, right? Because that one is so electric, certainly in the SEC East, but also Ole Miss-Tennessee. You got Lane Kiffin going back to Knoxville, and I know you're extra excited about that.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's Lane Kiffin's return. I remember Lane Kiffin being there. Right? That's when I really started to become a Tennessee fan. It was when I was in early years of high school. Those were those same years, and so I remember Tennessee football when he was there. I think Tennessee is moving and grooving. Their offense is explosive. They've got pieces returning. I think Hendon Hooker is really making a push and kind of settling in as the quarterback. Obviously, he's not Matt Corral, and so Tennessee's defense will have to step up,
yeah.
But we'll talk more about it.
We'll talk more about Tennessee in another segment we've got coming up called Halfway In, Halfway Out. We're halfway through the season now, entering this weekend. And there are a couple of teams that Dre and I are both still sitting here going, all right, I like this part, but I'm still not entirely sure about this part. Yep. So we'll give you our list of teams that we're half in, half out on. And then, of course, out of pocket style, we're going to have some weird stuff coming up on the show. There were some streaks broken, some history made for the first time. Georgia's the number one team in the regular season in years. So we're going to go back in the time machine and give you some 80s. Some things that were going on the last time some of this stuff happened. And you don't seem like a big 80s fan.
Yeah, I'm sorry if any Paul Feinbaumers are 80s. Big 80s fans. We're going to maybe get into some stuff that should have been left. In the 80s. In the 80s.
Do you like 80s music at all?
I like 80s music.
My first concert was Def Leppard, Poison, and Cheap Trick, which is like
peak 80s. Of course it was. That says so much about you.
I mean, in the best way.
It's very fitting. No, it's great. It's great. I love you. You're my favorite person ever.
Best way. We also ended the show last week by literally staring at each other and insulting each other because Tennessee, South Carolina played last week. Yeah. I think we have some making up to do to each other. Tennessee obviously handily won that game. But
you have making up to do to me because
of the score.
You
were very rude.
Yeah, I know,
we were very rude. I don't know if that excuses it. Come watch us tonight. Out of Pockets On is 7 o'clock on the SEC Network.
We welcome you back here, and let's check in with Scott in Mississippi. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Scott, we are doing great. Thank you.
Good deal. Hey, you are talking about being positive. I was thinking about a way, y'all can make some extra money on your show is when you going to start charging just like in college football, they charge for rushing the field. When are you going to start charging Alabama fans for crying on your show?
Listen, if I had been doing that for my entire career, I'd have a couple of bucks right now.
I hear you. All right, that's all I got.
Hey, thank you. That's a good call. Appreciate it. Charlie, that's a good idea, by the way. I can still make a few bucks on that one. Charlie is in Ohio. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Great thank show. You. Appreciate it.
I know a lot of people call in and talk about the teams in the South, but I got to talk about those Ohio State Buckeyes. Question for you with all the Big Ten leading all the polls and everybody up high in the top 10 now. We all think around here that Ohio State's about set to get ready to run the table again and get back into the championship play. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I never completely gave up on them. I know everybody wanted defensive coordinator to be run out of town. That's familiar. That was in what we've heard here. But yeah, they played a really good team in Oregon at the time, and they're not anymore. They've had so many injuries, but they were fantastic. They've come back in a really energized way, and I think they've settled down. And I saw some of their game the other day. They look good. And, the schedule sets up pretty well for them with Penn State at home. And as far as Michigan on the road, that's not going to concern a Buckeye fan, is it?
No, not anymore. As long as we got Harbaugh still there, everything's fine.
I hear you. Hey, thanks for the call. Ron is in Florida. Hey, Ron, thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Baumbaum. How are you?
Quite well. Thank you.
Well, first, before I get into my question, as an Alabama fan, listening to your show Monday and yesterday made me feel better about the game Saturday. I laughed so many times, I lost track. Well, some of these people just make me question myself, but you know, one of your colleagues Saturday night during the LSU-Kentucky game had to say that the SEC has some of the best officiating, and I know we watch a lot of SEC, but and I've watched other conferences, but I'd have to say the SEC officials have been kind of bad for at least the past couple of years. I don't know if you agree or not.
You know, I'm going to say this. We harp on those four or five mistakes that they make, and you know, we're still talking about the Arkansas-Auburn game and the Ole Miss-Auburn game and a few other ones. And I am of the opinion that the SEC officials are good, and I know the training that they have to go through and the standards that they have to meet. Now, I'm like you. I mean, I watch television on Saturday night, and I'm like asking, how do they come up with this? But I don't think they're. I think I know that I know what they have to go through to become SEC officials. So I know that sounds like a nuanced answer, but I do believe that.
Well, and I kind of understand, and we know they can't catch everything, and I don't fault them for, you know, missing one hair there. But yeah, you bring up the Arkansas last year, and that was really bad. I mean, that was just really unforgivable.
Here's what I will say, though, Ron, and I talked to the head of officiating once about this. Sometimes in the moment, it really depends on what we see and what we hear, and that formulates our opinion, and it may not always be right. Thanks for the call.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.